אנחנו קוראים בספר
זוהר. We are reading in the book Zohar for All, portion Bo, come unto Pharaoh, article, and pass over the lintel and the two mezuzahs, the two doorposts, item 75, Ayin Hay. You can ask questions at cab.tv. Selected questions will be related, that are related to the lesson topic, can be asked during the tech lesson. Again, Zohar for All, portion Bo, come unto Pharaoh, article, and pass over the lintel and the two mezuzahs, item 75.
Well, we are facing the light, the surrounding light, of course, with respect to our degree, in order to be rewarded of it becoming the internal light, we have to change our kli from the opposite thing to the light to something which resembles the light, that's all. And then instead of a surrounding light, it will penetrate us and it will become an internal light. So let us make the effort that the main thing from our reading is for a change inside our kli to occur, not in the desire, rather in the intention.
And pass over the lintel and the two mezuzahs. Item 75. Providence is not seen above except when an act of it is seen below. And before an act is done below, providence does not punish, except for a thought of idol worshipping, which is punished without an act. And once an act is done, the higher providence awakens. This is why everything depends on the act, for better or for worse. All the streets of Egypt were filled with idols, and in each house were all sorts of sorcerers who connect the lower crowns below with their charms and evoke the spirit of impurity among them. It is written, and you shall take a bundle of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin. The bundle of hyssop is to purify the spirit of impurity from among them and to show the complete faith on their homes in these three places, one from here and one from here, on the two mezuzahs, which imply the two lines, right and left. And the one between them, on the lintel, implies the middle line. And this is why the Creator passed over the door and did not let the destroyer come into your homes to smite, since He sees the holy name written on the door, which is the three lines. If they imply to the three lines, why was it done in blood? It is because the color of the three lines is white and red, and the inclusive is green. There were two bloods, one of Passover and the other of the circumcision, when they circumcised themselves. The blood of circumcision is rachamim, mercy, even though it is red. And the Passover blood is judgment, din. Hence, colors are irrelevant here. He says, it is not so. I learned that the Creator brought that blood back to Rachamim, as though it was the white among the colors. As it is written, when I passed by you and saw you wallowing in your blood, I said unto thee, in thy blood live. And although it was red, it was brought back to Rachamim, for it is written, in thy blood live. Hence, it is not dependent upon colors. And this is why he wrote on the door on the three sides, one here, and one in between them, implying the three lines. Two bloods were seen, the Passover blood and the circumcision blood. Those correspond to two keters, sfirot, which were seen above at that time, which are two lines, chesed and gvura. They are opposite one keter, included in the two hidden sides, in rachamim and din, judgment. This is so because the middle line itself, Tiferet, consists of two lines corresponding to the two bloods. The circumcision blood, the Rachamim in Tiferet, and the Passover blood, the Din in Tiferet. There are several places where the Creator has pity over His children. A man made a house, and the Creator told him, "Write my name and put it on your doorstep, and you will sit within the house while I sit outside at your door and watch over you." But here, in Passover, he said, "Write the secret of my faith on the door." The three lines on the two mezuzahs and the lintel, and you will sit inside your home while I watch over you from the outside. As it is written, "And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning." It is also written, "And when he sees the blood upon the lintel, and will not allow the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you." Thus, the Creator was watching over them from the outside. Such as the holy name, Hey, they did at that time, meaning three lines, two on the bezuzahs and one on the lintel from above. This is similar to the shape of the Hey, which is Malchut. Hence, as the holy name returned to being Din, to being judgment over the Egyptians at that time, the blood returned to being Din at that time, as it is written, "And when he sees the blood upon the lintel and on the two mezuzahs." They were all marked in red, implying Din, to show that although it is Rachamim for Israel, it was Din, once again, to avenge the Egyptians.
We have to, as we were saying, that a person stabilizes himself in front of the Creator, and he sees that the entire reality, which he feels, is inside of him, including the group, including humanity, including the entire reality, the whole world that one can depict for himself. Everything happens inside one's will to receive, and other than his will to receive, everything else is the Creator. So now, when one is reading, what does he read about? He reads about different situations which take place inside his will to receive. More organized situations, more directed to the Creator. So when the desires position better according to, in order to bestow, let's say all the desires were scattered all over, still vegetative, animate speaking, with respect to men, not just with respect to nature, how it is in nature. Like one speaks about what happens outside of him. Rather, how does one perceive reality? Before he didn't pay any notice of it, and now the system seems to him more and more closed, organized, integral. Now he sees that it even pressures him. It's closing down on him. And it is completely connected in all its pieces. So here we see that there's what a person reveals gradually throughout his development. There is a process of how much we reveal and discover things. And there is a process that the system itself from the outside is stabilized more. It connects through all its pieces more. And it pressures us to start receiving it in a more closed kind of way, more unified way. that means that there is an awakening from below or an awakening from above, that there's either the path of Torah or the path of suffering. The path of Torah is when we start accelerating, hastening ourselves to accept this round, closed system more and more. And then, later on, we can come and understand the upper force, the providence, the governance, or the system itself, which we depict to ourselves. That it is entirely as one body, like in a tight, interconnected way inside. It pressures us to connect between us and to it. And this is how it hardens our life. But no matter what we need to see in the perception of reality, we have to look at it and through it, the upper force, which awaits to clothe in it inside this system to fulfill it according to the equivalence of form. And then the Zohar describes for us those advanced stages. Actually, it explains to us about very exalted degrees, but when we read about it, we diminish them to our degree. It's like kids who look at the world. We look at the world in a more broader way. There are perhaps smarter people than us, and they see more things, different objects, how they're all connected, what they're comprised from, what they're meant to do. And let's say a little child, 4, 5, 10 years old, he's looking at things and he sees the world differently. So he perceives just a part of it, a small fragment of the world. And so we have to understand that the Zohar gives us the whole thing. And we, every time when we try to stabilize our inner world according to the Zohar, then that effort to identify, to recognize what it is and which way the Zohar speaks about our inner organization, the still, vegetative, animate, humanity, how they're all organized and positioned in accordance to our perception, in the text, accordingly, we connect.
Adam Pei Gimel, 83. As she is above, so it should be seen below at that time. If it is rachamim, then rachamim. If din, then din. And since there was din above over the Egyptians, it is written, dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel. The blood implies din. And it is written about the future, who is this who comes from Edom with crimsoned garments from Bozra? Meaning he will show everyone din, perform vengeance, and then his clothes will be as red as blood. What is the reason that they were not allowed outside their doorsteps? Is it that a person should not be on the street when din is applied to the city? Because when the destroyer is given permission, those who hurt him are harmed. Hence, here, when the din was over Egypt, they did not need to be outside. In that same one where you find din for Egypt, you find rachamim for Israel, as it is written, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. We also learned regarding all those holy keters above that as there is din in them, there is rachamim in them. It is all at the same time. It is written, and the Lord will smite Egypt, smiting and healing. Meaning, afflict Egypt and heal Israel. What is and healing? They needed healing from their circumcision. At the same time when the Egyptians were being afflicted, Israel were being healed. It is written, the Lord will pass over the door. Should it not have said, will pass over you? However, the door is the door of the body, which is the circumcision, meaning that he healed it. When midnight passes, the upper chesed, the Zeranpin, awakens in the holy Keter, Malchut, for one does not rise without the other, even though the night is only Malchut. Still, it never happens that Malchut is without Zeranpin, her husband. For this reason, one smites and the other heals. Malchut smites and Zeranpin heals, and all at the same time.
Any questions? Ah, Tzvika.
I think this is the only book that writes about three lines. I never saw that written so deeply, where it's always three lines, three lines.
Zohar in general.
Zohar. I've never seen that in the Torah, only the Zohar.
The Torah. How come it is written in lines in the Torah?
Why in the Zohar is all written three, 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 three?
Because in the Zohar, well, look. In the wisdom of Kabbalah, as Baal HaSulam explains in the article, The Wisdom of Kabbalah and Its Essence. Well, let's say that's it. He explains there that you have mainly the cascading from above downward, and then the essence of the souls from below upward in the same cascading when it spread down. A ladder was created here on which the souls climb. This ladder, which cascaded from above downward, this is a ladder with degrees, with steps on it. Those who rise up, they rise between those two sticks on the stairs in the middle line. This is the soul. So the middle line, you're saying that there are three lines. The middle line comes from below upwards as the soul itself. It doesn't exist in and of itself, the middle line. The soul, when it rises, the soul itself stabilizes from within her this middle line. And therefore the Zohar, especially the Zohar, and other, well, not many other books of Kabbalah, really, they speak about the middle line, because all the books of Kabbalah, they spoke, especially from above downward. Kabbalists, until the Baal Shem Tov, they did not write from below upwards. They didn't have a language for it, because there was no reason, there was no one to write to. And also the Ari, he used to speak, especially in the Tree of Life, everything is from above downward, although there are parts he wrote, he was already the Messiah, son of Yosef. So he's already talking about the ascent of the soul, but only the first Hasidim, they developed this language of Hasidism, the language of the inner work, and mainly Baal HaSulam. The whole interpretation, the whole commentary of the letter is the middle line. There's nothing more to be added.
So what do we need to do when we hear all the time three lines? He always returns on that. So what do we need to do so whenever he mentions three lines?
Three lines means how to balance myself between the will to receive and the light. How in every state I can make it so that I will have a whole kli, meaning a perfect correction in the present state under these circumstances. under these circumstances that I have for now.
Okay, but how do we here, who are learning, when we hear three lines in every sentence, how should we relate to that? What should we think about?
We have to relate to it the following way. How will I connect to the environment and to the world and the whole of reality in such a way that I will be in maximum bestowal with respect to the Creator? So that I will stabilize from the entire reality the correct kli of bestowal, and that should bring me immediately to the shattering. And out of the shattering, then I will ask for correction. My effort, my true effort, brings me to the revelation of evil. And this revelation of evil, if it, after I make the right effort, brings me to a cry for help, for His help.
This is what brings to the cry that we learn about three lines. Well, I'm asking, what do we need to think about when we see three lines? In every sentence, we see three lines, and I'm hearing three lines. So what do I do with that, precisely?
Let's say I am with a friend. I have a will to receive, an egoistic, great will to receive. I heard that I have to look at a friend as the greatest of the generation, that I should connect to him wholeheartedly. I don't really like him. I have plenty of criticism over him. Things don't work out between us that well. But now, above my ego, above my calculations, by convincing myself that everything that I see is because of my own flaw, he who flaws does it due to his own flaw, and he is the greatest generation, Rabbi Shimon, Moshe is in front of me, and this is how I want to connect to him. Meaning, all the flaws that I see in him, I convince myself that it is me. In such a way, I try to rise in faith above reason as much as I can. And then I connect to him. In one moment, I attain that. The next moment, I don't. And then there is a prayer that I want that the Creator, that the light that reforms will come my way and correct me in such a way that my effort, as much as I want to be in it, as much as I want to be corrected, it will really be realized that I will really correct myself. Why? Because I truly want to see the group in a way that they are the greatest in everything. And I want to respect them. I want to appreciate them. And to really feel myself the smallest of them all.
What opens this item of the lintel and the two mezuzahs?
He tells you that the letter He is Malchut, that is organized according to the three lies. It has the letter He. It's the same way like Bina, which has the letter He, Yud Kei Vav Kei.
So why should I kiss the mezuzah? What work is that? I go outside and I kiss the mezuzah. What's happening here?
That means that you have reached the highest zivug, called zivug de neshikim, the highest coupling, called zivug de neshikim, zivug of kesses. there is a physical zivug coupling, which is called zivug de yesodot, and it is even more important because this is the will to receive. But when we go out and inside and we kiss the mezuzah, that means in the vessel of bestowal, I'm adhered to these three lines, which are called the three lines of Bina, which is a very high degree. That means that you are inside the light of faith, the light of chassadim, and then nothing can harm you. If you go out, if you come in, it doesn't matter. When you go out to the world of external desires, uncorrected desires of yours, and then you go out with the force of Bina. The Creator protects you, the force of bestowal. And when you come back home, you have brought many klipot with you. So you clean yourself by going through the Bina, through the vessels of bestowal, and then you put them home in a corrected way, into your inner kli.
We need to do that physically, meaning we need to kiss the mezuzah physically?
What do you mean, to kiss the mezuzah? Go ahead and kiss it.
Meaning it's necessary to do that, or it's all in our internality?
No, we do this in our externality as a sign for states we have to come to in our internality. Of course, we have to reach it in our internality. When I exit my inner kli called home to the external kli called the world, well, you know, root neshama guf levush echal. So I have shorosh neshama guf levush, and then heichal palace, and outside of the heichal palace, this is the real external world, meaning desires which in them certainly I will be in order to receive. So how do I relate to such desires which are inside of me as klipot compared to desires which are already corrected inside my house, inside my heichal, inside my palace? So how do I relate to them? I need to go out and come in for the sake of providence, for the sake of connection, for the sake of correction with the world. Providence means that I bring additional desires, correct them, and turn them to in order to bestow. Therefore, we need to put them through the lintel, doors. There are different things there. And there are also the rules of Shabbat, the authority of the plural, the authority of the individual. So this is bringing in guests. This is what it is called. When you bring your uncorrected desires and you turn them into your internal desires.
Reading the Zohar here is like kissing the mezuzah every morning and then going out into the world.
Hold the microphone the right way.
Okay, on the contrary. So when I leave the house, I kiss the mezuzah, it's just like I'm reading the Zohar. If I make the correct intention, I don't need the Zohar, I need the mezuzah, I think about the three lines and that's it.
Yes, if you already perform such actions, you don't need the Zohar, you're already corrected. Why do you need the Torah for?
Right.
If you have corrected the entire evil inclination and turned it into a good inclination, then you don't need the Torah. The Torah is inside of you. The surrounding light becomes internal light.
And then I continue reading the Zohar?
No, whatever for. Of course not. You don't need anything else.
And the people who wrote the Zohar didn't reach all the 125 degrees?
Why should you read it for? The man shall teach him. You have all the kelim, all the lights. Why should you open a book for? Which book? You have the book of heaven.
So Kabbalists who read a certain stage stop reading the Zohar? They don't need it anymore at that stage?
Of course. The Zohar is inside of them. I don't understand you.
They won't need to listen to Dr. Leitman in the morning. They just finish the Zohar and that's it?
No. You have to keep on listening to Rav Leitman. Now let's move on to the next part of the lesson.
We're going to the next part of the lesson.